I am thankful to have been asked to speak this evening. I'll try to pump up the volume a little bit here, coming out of my mouth. I tend to mumble sometimes, but we did some exercises in school trying to get me out of my quiet phase. And it was never an issue when I was leading singing. I would just belt it out then, but some reason I get up here to preach and it's quiet. And in connection with the invitation song that was announced, number 927, Why Keep Jesus Waiting? I'd like for us to look at the lyrics to that just briefly. And this is what the lesson will be about. We'll notice several passages from Scripture and some instances, some examples of some of the concepts being talked about here in the song. Number 927 says, Why keep Jesus waiting? Waiting in the cold. He will bear you gently. Gently to his fold, see him, soul, and open, I implore. And then verse 2 is, he is waiting at the door, he knocks softly off, and he knocks softly o'er and o'er, and hear him, soul, and open, I implore. Why keep him waiting? Verse 3, knocking at the door, soon he'll cease his pleading, yes, forevermore. Come, poor soul, obey him, open, I implore. My mind is, I don't know if I'm crazy or what, but I think in cartoons in regard to a lot of concepts. And the cartoon that occurred to me in thinking along the lines of someone standing outside a door and waiting was, of all things, Winnie the Pooh waiting to get into Rabbit's Hole. And you remember that scene probably. You can, I hear some chuckles. Some people that have seen that, they'll remember that he pokes his head kind of in the hole, and he doesn't really knock. I mean, there's no door there, but he just pokes his head in the hole. And he says, hello, is anybody home? Is anybody in there? You remember what a rabbit says? No. And then Winnie the Pooh, being the bear, very little brain, he thinks about it for a minute. He says, somebody must have said nobody. No, nobody's home. And then he says, rabbit, is that you? And so we can humorize this a little bit and remember such a thing as Winnie the Pooh and Rabbit. Rabbit didn't want to give entrance to Winnie the Pooh. You remember why? He's going to eat it all as honey. He was already trying to gather up all his pots and hide them. To no avail, Winnie the Pooh was urgent in his demanding entrance. He got in and then he couldn't get out. And we remember such things, as I said, with a little bit of humor. But Winnie the Pooh did ask for entrance. He did ask, and he was a little urgent in his pleading. Jesus is pictured as waiting on us in this song, and I think we'll notice in Scripture that he likewise is pictured as waiting on us, and we'll get to those passages in just a moment. I want us to think about this, though, that there is really no good answer to the question, why keep Jesus waiting? We shouldn't keep him waiting. I think, of course, that's the point to the song. Why? Well, you shouldn't. We shouldn't. It may not be a conscious or even an uncomfortable thought process for us to get us into this category of those that will make Jesus wait on us, but some of us, a lot of us, end up there anyway. And many think that important people such as themselves should not have to wait, and really that's part of the courtesy that we might apply to a question like this and say, well, Jesus is, of course, the most important one. He should not have to wait. But even so, we are, in thinking along those lines, oftentimes thinking of ourselves as more important than we really are. So I want us to notice from Matthew chapter 28, if you will, just how important Jesus is. Matthew chapter 28, this is, of course, in regard to the entirety of the things that are, the powers that be, and all of authority, as is spoken of here in Matthew chapter 28. Look at verse 18. It says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And, of course, the next verse, he says, go and teach all nations. Why would we keep Jesus waiting on our obedience? Why would we keep him waiting on carrying out something like this? Why would we keep him waiting when he has all authority? There is no greater authority that could be appealed to and say, well, I would have done what you said, Jesus, but this was more important to me. Well, it's not more important. What Jesus says is most important. We could look at the figure and the object lesson in the person of the prophet Hosea in the Old Testament. How that he waited for loyalty. He waited for integrity. He waited for a responsible spouse to come back to him. We noticed the story of the prodigal son briefly, I think, or at least it occurred to my mind in the lesson this morning in Luke chapter 15. And I know he did refer to the father, the unconditional love of the father, the one that stood and watched and waited patiently. Jesus certainly does wait patiently, but we shouldn't make him wait. He is long-suffering, but that's going to have an end, isn't it? Loyalty is due him. He is our sovereign creator. He is the savior of the world. He is referred to as, he would have all men to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And even though all men everywhere are commanded to repent, Acts chapter 17 verse 30, it is the long-suffering of God, the long-suffering of Christ that allows men this time and space to repent. We have opportunities in life to repent and to come to obedience. Secondly, I want us to think about the fact, of course, we've already referred to, that we're not so important as we think ourselves sometimes. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. John Baptist told the people of his generation, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 9, as they were a little puffed up, it seems like, when they said that we're children of Abraham. He says, say not that we're the seed of Abraham. Say not that you're of the children of Abraham. God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You look to Esther in the Old Testament in chapter 4 and verse 14. Mordecai, you remember the great statement that he made there probably about who knoweth whether you're come to the kingdom for such a time as this. But the first part of that verse is more humbling. And we think of providence, as we talked about it last Wednesday in class, and sometimes we can think, yeah, God's watching us. God is watching over us. He's caring for us, and we are important to Him, and we are. But we shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. And here, Esther chapter 4, verse 14, Mordecai's statement and leading into this great providential enlightenment here, he says, if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. So we shouldn't think, well, hey, we're the only ones. We're the only ones that can do this. God is able to get His will accomplished. In fact, Isaiah 55 does mention that He will have His word not return to Him void. It shall accomplish that whereunto He has sent it. And so His will be done. And we should not, of course, stand in His way. We ought to render our obedience. We ought to be His hands, His feet, and His mouths. We ought to be willing to spend and be spent in the service of Christ. It's not our timetable. We're not so important as we think ourselves sometimes that our everydays, we have schedules, we have things to do. Sometimes we forget the important things. And in doing so, we would keep Jesus waiting. Waiting for our obedience. Waiting for our attention to those things that He has said we should be busy about doing. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 states that it is high time to awake out of sleep. And now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The book of Acts has a couple of examples I wanted us to notice in the course of this lesson. Acts chapter 8, we'll turn there first. In Acts chapter 8, there was the story of the eunuch, where Philip was sent to go and teach him. And the eunuch says something great in verse 36, I believe it is. When Philip has preached Christ to him, and when he has come to understand the nature of the one he's been reading about from the book of Isaiah, as we know at chapter 53, and he has come to heard the word of the gospel, he has believed it, he is certainly willing to repent of sin, and he is ready to obey the gospel. He's ready to do whatever is necessary to be saved. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And when we ask the question, why keep Jesus waiting? We're really asking, what is hindering us? What stops us from letting things progress as a Christian? as a servant of Christ. What stops us? What is the hindrance? What doth hinder me? What hinders you? What hinders me from doing what God says? The eunuch asked the question properly, what doth hinder me initially in obedience to the gospel? And Philip answers him, verse 37, 38. You know, they take care of things. He is baptized. He does render that obedience. Another not so great example and passage here in Acts chapter 24 is that of Felix. And the gospel is preached to him, but he reacts very differently than the eunuch. In fact, he is one of those people that thinks his timetable is the only timetable, apparently. And he says, when I have a convenient season, Acts chapter 24, verse 25, when I have a convenient season, I will call thee. Go your way for this time. He's going to keep Jesus waiting. It might keep him, might have kept him waiting until it's too late. We don't know for sure. But Paul did preach the message that needed to hear, that of righteousness, temperance, a judgment to come. And so Jesus stood at the door and knocked, so to speak, with the gospel. And here Felix gives this poor, poor response. Turn with me now, if you will, to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2, you know, I used the terminology just a moment ago that people are given space and time to repent. Revelation 2 verse 21, this is the terminology that is used in one of the letters of the churches here. It says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication and she repented not. And so this is before the terminology that we're familiar with from Jesus saying, I stand at the door and knock. This is before that chapter. But here he's already talking about waiting. He says, I gave her space to repent and she did it not. But then you do look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, and this is where we see that Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What does hinder us? And why would we make Jesus wait? His motives are pure. They're indisputably the best motives as he would come into us, knocking at the door of our hearts. He loves us. He loves us enough to have given himself for our sins. He loves us enough to save us from our sins. Loves us enough to have done everything he could so that we might be saved. And the question that we ask, again, has no good answer. In the song, there is no good reason to keep Jesus waiting. If you have a need to make your life right, the opportunity is yours this evening. You don't have to make Jesus wait. You can put him on in baptism. You can be buried with him in baptism. Romans 6 verses 1 through 6. You can wear his name, the name of Christian, Acts chapter 11. You can live as you ought to live in service to him, as we see the Apostle Paul and the pages of the New Testament do, in the face of adversity, in the face of persecution, in the face of terrible odds and awful things. He's a great role model to follow, but we follow after primarily the example of Christ himself in living a life motivated by love. If you have a need to make your life right, won't you let it be known as we stand and sing?